Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled Blue Collar Thinking. I'm sure you're aware of the fact that people think differently based on their surroundings and their upbringing. A child born into a traditional blue collar family will grow up thinking a certain way about money, about themselves, and about their opportunities in life, whereas a child born into a blue blood aristocratic family will think quite differently about their opportunities in life. Money won't be an issue to them. Bills won't be an issue to them. They grow up programmed to think like the wealthy people that they are. We're all born into this world enslaved to spiritual death and trained to think like this world thinks. When we were born again, we became different people, born into the wealthiest family of all, the family of God. We have to stop thinking based on who we were and begin to think like the children of God that we are. I hope that you enjoy this message.
I'd like to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to you for all that you've given us in Jesus. We're so thankful that we are new creations in Christ Jesus, that we're not the same people that we used to be, that we're different, that we've been changed. And I thank you, Father, that we're growing in our understanding of who we are now, and it is affecting every area of our lives. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you've made us. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for teaching us who we are now, for revealing to us the truth that we are sons of the living God. And Father, I come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit is going to bring understanding into our hearts of what these verses are saying. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm excited this evening to share this message with you. And I'm excited to hear it myself, to be honest with you. It's one of a series of messages that I have entitled The New Creation Identity. And the Holy Ghost has been working on me for the last few weeks now, trying to help me to understand and have a greater understanding of who I am now as a new creation, who I am as a son of God, as an heir, a joint heir with Christ Jesus. And so many times this understanding, these verses that we've looked at already and that we're going to look at some more this evening, these verses, we look at them and we have kind of a head knowledge of what they're saying. But if we really have a deeper understanding, a revelation, if it explodes on the inside of us of who we are, then it's possible that is going to change our lives. And I expect that it will, and I expect it's going to affect my life and your life. So picking up where I left off, I believe that if we have a greater understanding of this, that it is going to impact every area of our life. And see, I know that for myself, that too much of this is something that I might have a mental understanding of, a mental concept of it, but it's not a heartfelt revelation, or I would see it in my life in a greater measure. I would see the differences in my life. And because I don't, then I have to come to the conclusion that it really isn't something that is a heartfelt revelation, that it is only something that I have a mental conception of, but not something that is that's tangible to me, that I can hold on to, that I truly believe in my heart. See, that's when you see the results. And the results, that's the proof. You know, the proof is in the pudding. Well, that's really the proof of it, when you can see the results in your life. You know, we have a lot of people, I believe, running around talking about, you know, being an heir and a joint heir with Christ Jesus, but there's no fruit in their life. So do they really believe it, or is it just something that they're saying? Because if you really believe it, then it changes you. It affects you, affects every part of your life. And as I was kind of contemplating these things, thinking about these issues, this idea about being an heir, I really believe the Holy Ghost started giving me some things to help me understand why it is that we're not benefiting the way we ought to be from this truth. You know, we've looked at verses like 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature, a brand new species of being. All things are passed away. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The old things are gone. That old person that so many of us continue to identify with, that person has ceased to exist. And now there's a brand new person, a brand new creation, someone that never before existed, living in this physical body. It used to be occupied by a different person. But now the person that lives here is born of God. And I know some people cringe when you say that. How can you say that? Well, that's what the Bible says. And if you're not born of God, I got news for you. You're not going to heaven, because you have to be born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. You must be born again. Well, when you're born again, you're born into a new family. You're a new creation. You're a different person. And as this new creation, it is supposed to change every part of you, the way you think, the way you act. You know, you haven't been reborn into just Joe Blow's family. You have been reborn into the kingdom of God, into God's family. And see, that's the point right there where I am so convinced that we believers are missing it, because we're saying it, but we're not believing it. Because when you believe it, the fruit manifests in your life. And I believe that we mentally assent to that idea, but that it's still not heartfelt revelation. Well, why isn't it? That's the point. That's where we want to really focus in at tonight. Why isn't it affecting us? And I truly believe it's because of all of the programming that we have experienced in our minds ever since we were children growing up. We have been programmed by the things of this world. And so many of us, we participated in the carnal activities of the world, the sinful activities. I mean, it was who we were before we were born again. That was the lifestyle that we lived before we were born again. That person who we continue to identify with, that is where our problem really exists. Because that programming influenced our soul, and our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And some people actually include intellect in that as well, which mind, will, emotions, intellect. The soul isn't born again. It has to be renewed. The mind has to be renewed with the Word of God. There has to be a reprogramming, if you allow me to use that phrase. You've got to be reprogrammed with the things of God, because you are constantly bombarded by the programming of this world. You know, we live in this world, but we're not of this world anymore now that we're born again. So we've been born again. We are this new person. And yet we are struggling to live and identify and see the results that this new person should be seeing. Why is that? And again, it's this constant barrage of influence from the world, the people around you, all your coworkers, your friends, your family, all of them. And a lot of times they're not evil. They're good people, and the influence is not intended to undermine your faith at all. It's not their intention. But when they're influencing you, and they continue to follow the thinking of this world, and they're influencing you, you're being influenced by this world still. And it continues to make you identify with the old person that you used to be. You think that way. You think about failure. You think about all the fears, all the things that you're afraid of. See, fear is not of God. Fear is not a product of your recreated human spirit. It's a learned behavior that is being carried over from the person that you used to be. God's not afraid of anything. Jesus, when he walked this earth, was absolutely not afraid of anything. Jesus didn't struggle with unbelief of any kind, shape, or form. And see, we look at that and we think, well, you know, of course he didn't, because he was God. Well, he was all God, all man. You know, he was man that had come, or he was God that had come to this earth and clothed himself in mortal flesh. And yet he's still given all the opportunities to be afraid. Think about the time when he was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. You know, those temptations, I have to imagine, were just vicious, strong temptations. And the pressure was against him to try and get him to bend. And yet he didn't. He didn't struggle with unbelief. He didn't struggle with fear. And yet we, even as reborn, new creations, children of God, we're still thinking about lack, about fearfulness, about sickness, disease, about the things that this world they're concerned about. We're concerned about it. Why? Why is that? We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We've been born again. We are aliens now, if you'll allow me to say it that way, from another planet. We're not from this world now, at least on the inside. I know that's going to be new information for some folks, but that the person that we have become didn't originate in this natural world. It originated in the supernatural, if you'll allow me to say it that way, in the world of the spirit. We've been born again of the Spirit of God. So we're here as ambassadors to spread this gospel of Jesus Christ in the world, to help reconcile people to God. Ministers of reconciliation. Every single Christian is to be a minister of reconciliation. In other words, we're supposed to be the light in the darkness. We're supposed to be the ones that are helping other people to come to the light, leave the darkness, be born again into the family of God. And yet, even though that's what we're here to do, we are so entangled in the day in and day out affairs of being a human being in this world. When the truth of the matter is, the only thing human about us is the fact that these physical bodies one day are going to lay down and die. That's the only human part of us. And the rest of us, we should be renewing our soul with the Word of God so that we think with the mind of Christ, so that we're believing the things of God that are not of this world. You see, we're so much, we so identify with this world that the things that I've said up to this point, many of you are struggling with. Because you think, well, you know, I've got this family and I got this job and I've got all these responsibilities. And the bottom line is, too many of us have allowed ourselves to be assimilated back into this world. We get born again, and thank God for that. And yet we read the Bible, we meditate on the Word of God, and still we think like the world thinks. We have the same fears that the world has. We get the same diseases that the world gets. And none of that was God's plan for us. None of it. God doesn't want any Christian to die prematurely. God doesn't expect any Christian to die prematurely. If they do, it's not God's fault. It's not that God hasn't answered their prayers. It's because they don't know who they are. They don't believe who they are. They don't believe they have authority to cast get the sickness off of them. And I know what I'm saying is hard. It's hard on me to even hear myself say these things, but it's the truth. It's the truth. So here's some thoughts that I wrote down as the Lord was dealing with me in these areas, because I'm like you. The things that I have said up to this point, they step on my own toes. I'm not doing this. I'm not coming here, sitting here and saying these things as though I have arrived. I'm saying them and I join with you in listening and having my toes stepped on along with yours. Because I'm as guilty of this as anyone else. I would like to say that I have a greater understanding of who I am and that I'm walking in that. It's ground that I need to capture. It's ground that I need to take back from the enemy. I've given the enemy too much place in the way I think and the things that I do and the things I believe. I've given him too much place. I have fallen back into the trap of thinking the way the world thinks. And it's wrong. Shame on me for letting myself do that. And I ask you to take an inventory of your life. Have you at one point walked in things that you know now you're not walking in? If that's the case, you've slipped. And I've slipped. Well, we either are going to identify those places, correct them, and go forward, or we're just going to keep slipping backwards. You don't sit at the same spot. You're either going forward or the enemy's pushing you back. You don't get to stand still. It doesn't work that way. So here are some things for us to think about. Okay? And this is in line with the way an heir of a fortune would think. Okay? So let me kind of set the stage here. You know, we've looked at scriptures like Romans, the 8th chapter, I'll just refer to this very quickly to kind of set the stage for us. You know, we've already talked about 2 Corinthians 5:17. We know that we're new creations. Romans 8 says, verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the children. We are God's children. His children. His children. Say that with me. I am a child of God. I am born of God. Hallelujah. That's awesome. I am born of God. You know, in my natural birth into this world, I was born of Robert Jenkins, my dad. But in the spiritual rebirth, I was reborn and God became my father. I was born of his spirit. And I tell you what, being a member of God's family has a whole lot of benefits. Are we taking advantage of all of those benefits? Think about that. Hallelujah. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Joint heirs with Christ. Say that with me. I am a joint heir with Christ Jesus. That's who we are. We're joint heirs with Christ. Joint, not sub, joint heirs. You know, if you have like a chart, you know, if you have Jesus Christ here, a sub-heir would be somebody that lines up underneath of him. Doesn't necessarily have the same inheritance. Joint heir on the same level. Same level, joint heir with Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that you become deity. Not at all. What I'm saying is, by you identifying in Christ Jesus, you're identifying in him, in his person, and you take advantage of the position that he holds in the family. He's the head of the family. And we have access to everything that he has access to. So let me ask you with that in mind. Is Jesus suffering from any kind of lack today? No. Okay, is Jesus suffering from any kind of sickness, any kind of disease? Nothing. So if he's not, then we should. And if we do, and I'll say this to myself, Mark, if you do, it's because, Mark, you have allowed the enemy to have that place in you. You've allowed it. That's pretty tough. And that, see, that's the thing right there that most pastors won't say that to the congregation. They just won't say it. Somebody dies unexpectedly. Oh, Jesus just wanted them in heaven more than he wanted to leave them on earth. That's just baloney. It's not true. And yet there's pastors in pulpits saying that kind of drivel, and it's wrong. It's not true. The only reason that people leave this earth, particularly born-again children of God, prematurely, is because they don't know who they are. They don't believe that they are joint heirs with Christ Jesus, heirs of God, heirs of God. God's heirs should not be running around sick and diseased and impoverished and all that other mess. No, it's not right. And it's only because the church, and I have to include myself in it, has allowed themselves to do what? To continue to be influenced by this world instead of taking a stand and saying, no, I'm not going to believe your lies. I don't believe that I'm going to have the next heart attack. I don't believe I'm going to have the, you look at all the drug commercials, or do you have this? Do you have that sickness? Are you, well, if you're this age, then you can have this, this, and this. No. That's thinking of from this world. My thinking is from another world. My thinking says that Jesus bore my sickness and carried my pain, and by his stripes I am healed. I was healed, I am healed now. That's the truth. Now I'm either going to accept that and stand on that and believe that, or I'm going to continue to allow that the lies from this world to influence me to the point that I will not walk in who I am as a joint heir with Christ Jesus. It's one or the other. So let me read this here, because I believe this is going to help you. I really do. I believe it's going to help me. Okay, I'm going to begin here. When the heir to a family fortune is born, their birth into the family is their entrance into the family. They don't choose. There's no choosing to be born into an aristocratic family, a family of blue bloods, a family of the rich and the, you know, the wealthy people. There's no choice. Some are born into that family, others are born into poverty. So, but let's just look at the ones, someone, for example, a young man born, a young child, a baby born into a family of wealth and prestige. As they're born into that family, they enter into that family. Now, you could say that the womb of their mother was the doorway for that child to enter into that family. Wouldn't that be correct? And so as they're born, they enter into the family. So that, and that brings to mind a message that I preached a number of years ago, talking about the doorway, the door and the doorway that Jesus talked about in John chapter 10. So I want to look there very quickly. Talking about the door, the gaining entrance, that idea of stepping through a doorway, entering into something, and how a baby enters into a family through the doorway of the womb of the mother. John chapter 10 is where we're looking at. If you turn there with me, verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." All right, let's stop there. This is talking about the shepherd of the sheep. Now, this, think if you will, who is the shepherd of the sheep? Jesus. He entered into this, the family of humanity through the doorway, the gate of his mother's womb, Mary. So he enters in, and it said that if you came in any other way, you're a thief and a robber. So he's talking, we all know the thief and the robber, the thief, and it says later on, has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, John 10:10. Thief is the devil in any of his cohorts, and they do not come through the womb of a woman. They do not. No matter what you may have heard, it does not happen. They cannot do that. Only Jesus has stepped out of heaven through the womb of a woman into this earth. So that was the door that he stepped through to become a man in this earth. So, and he came as the shepherd. Then if you look over at verse 7, we'll read a few verses here in John 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, this took me a very long time to understand. I don't know why it shouldn't have, but the thinking of this world kept me in bondage to understanding this, these verses. How could Jesus step through the door, the gate, in the first part of this chapter, and then become the door? And the reason is because he stepped into humanity through the birth canal, through the womb of a woman. But then through his death, burial, and resurrection, he himself became the door that we can pass through from death into life, the new birth. We're born of the Spirit of God. When we identify ourselves in Jesus, we are stepping through the door that he has become through his death, burial, and resurrection, and we are reborn into another family, the family of God. So he passed through a door first, a gate to come into this human race, but then he became a door that we can pass into another species of being out of this human race. And I say that, and I say it knowing that there's going to be people that just are not going to understand that. I'm not saying that we stop being human as far as in our physical body. What I'm saying is, in our spirit, it's reborn into the family of God. It's no longer identifying with first Adam. We're identifying with the last Adam, the second man, the last Adam. We changed. We've gone from one species of being that originated in the Garden of Eden with Adam, and through his genealogy, we have become new creations through the second man, the last Adam. We entered into the death of Jesus and the end of the race of the first Adam into the new creation being through Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. And now we are members of the family of God. You can't get any higher than the family of God. It is not possible. That's the highest that you can go. And we're members, joint heirs with Christ. How should that make us look? We should have victory on every corner, every area. No defeat whatsoever. Because that's the way God sees us. When he looks at us, he doesn't see lack and doubt and unbelief and fearfulness. He doesn't see that. He's looking at us in Jesus Christ, and he sees total victory. It's only us that, in our minds, we think defeat. Because that's what the world thinks, and the world continues to bombard us with this thinking. Now, I got to go back here. I want to read this because this is good stuff right here. Okay, I'm going to read it again. When the heir to a family fortune is born, their birth into the family is their entrance into the family. You could say that the natural womb of their mother was the doorway they stepped through to enter this natural world and into their inheritance. Did they do anything to earn that? No. They didn't. They don't have to try. They just are. It's who they are. It's who they are. They don't have to do anything other than be that person. Just be, just exist, because you're the heir to the throne. Now, let's go on here. Passing through that doorway gave them all rights to their family fortune, because they were naturally born into the family. When we pass through the doorway of Jesus, we become joint heirs with Him. Our identity changes forever. Forever. Think about that. It really is really too good for words, is what it boils down to, honestly. Okay. What happens, here's some questions to think about. What happens to this baby who will one day inherit the family fortune? He grows up in the family house, surrounded by all the influences afforded to the family because of their fortune. The child is educated by the best teachers in the finest schools. The child grows up, now get this right here, this is really important, understanding who he is. He grows up this way. What belongs to him? He grows up understanding these things belong to you. And he knows how to act as an heir. You think about these, you see these families, they're wealthy, they don't think about money. They just don't think about money. And their kids don't think about money. They want something, they just go get it. And the way they think, it's not about lack. They're not having to plan out their next paycheck. They're not having to wonder how long it's going to take to get their mortgage payment for this month, or when they can get braces for their teeth. You know, none of those things are issues, because money is not an issue for them. They want something, they just go get it. So what that does to that child, as that child grows up in that environment, it affects the way they think. They don't think poor. They don't think about lack. They have an expectancy of having whatever they want, whenever they want. And that's how they think. And take that child. Let's say something happens. Something very bizarre happens to the family, to the mother, to the father. And let's say that this child somehow gets separated from anyone that knows who they are. Okay? And the next thing they know, they wind up in the house of just a common everyday blue collar family. And that's where they end up growing up, with this family who does struggle to pay the bills, who does struggle with getting braces on the kids' teeth. Where's the money going to come from? That type of thing. Doing without. And so here's this aristocratic child separated from the parents, now is growing up in a whole different environment. In an environment where there is lack, where not all the needs are met. How is that going to change the way this aristocratic heir to a family fortune thinks when he's subjected to lack, when he's subjected to the same things, the same problems that the rest of the world faces, that he's never, if he would have been able to stay in the home of his parents and nothing would have happened. He would have grown up with a whole different way of thinking about money is no issue and I can have what I want. But now here he is growing up in a home of a blue collar family and now he's faced with lack. What is that going to do to him? It will completely change the way this child is going to think as he grows up. Herein is the problem for us. We have been so influenced by this world before we became Christians. And I don't know when you became a Christian. Doesn't really matter. Even however young you were still influenced and you have continued to be influenced by this world. And you're a child of the King. And yet you are inundated with thoughts and ideas from this world, not the world of your father. The world of your father and the way he thinks, it's all right here within these pages. It's these pages that have to create actually change the whole way that we think so that we think the way our father thinks and his thoughts are right here on these pages. I'm holding up the Bible. This is what will influence the way we think and change the way we think so that we are not thinking the way this world thinks. So that's what renewing our mind is all about. That's what Paul was telling us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we need to be transformed. There's a transformation that has to take place. Otherwise, we're just going to look like the world, act like the world, have the same problems the world has. Get a sickness, get a disease, die like everybody else. When all the while, we were this aristocratic, going back to my illustration, we were this aristocrat who has lineage from the family of God, but we have been immersed in a whole different set of circumstances from this world, and it has kept us from taking advantage of what truly belongs to us. Just like this wealthy heir to a family fortune who's been separated from it for whatever reason. Maybe mother and father had passed away. Maybe something happened. They lost track of this child. This child has every right to the family fortune, but here he is lost in this blue collar family. And what's happening? His mind is being influenced by this family and their lack and the struggle that they have. And he's not benefiting from what truly belongs to him as the heir of his family's fortune. He's not benefiting from it, even though it rightfully belongs to him. Even though he has every right to go access it, but he doesn't know. He doesn't have the understanding of what belongs to him. And so he suffers with this family. And that's a good picture right there of what happens with believers. Believers who they're like this child. They don't know what belongs to them. They're surrounded and influenced by this world. You know, that family, they weren't evil. They weren't trying to hurt this child. You know, they didn't know who this child was, and they were just living their life. See, that's really what happens. The rest of the world, they're just living their life. It's us that needs to accept the responsibility for understanding, gaining the understanding that we need to be able to take advantage of what already belongs to us. I think too often Christians want to lay that off on somebody else it's somebody else's responsibility. It's the pastor's responsibility. They're supposed to be teaching me this stuff. Look, too many of them don't even believe this. I hate to say it, but I believe it's true. And the reason why? Where's the results? Where's the results? If they truly believed that they were the children of the living God, joint heirs with Christ Jesus, if they believed it and it was more than just head knowledge, we would see the results. Mark, where's the results in your life? Hey, I'm as guilty of this as anybody else. And I don't take it lightly that I don't see more results in my own life right now. Whose fault is it? It's my fault. It's not God's fault. God's done everything to give us access to everything that Jesus, that belongs to Him. Holy Ghost has brought this to my attention. I was reading this earlier out of Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Mark, are you mad? No, I'm not mad. I'm mad at the devil because we have just let him run roughshod over the top of us and convince us that we're the same old people that we used to be. We're not. We're just not. That's not who we are. Look at Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. That means our behavior, the way we acted, the word conversation. In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. The children of the devil. By nature. That was our nature. That's who we were before we were born again. We were the children of the devil. And because we were, that nature, it trained us. It influenced us. It affected the way we think. It affected the way we acted. And the problem is, the part of us that did not get born again was so programmed by that if we don't now affect change in that part of us that didn't get born again, we'll just continue to think the way we've been programmed to think. We'll continue to believe the way that we used to believe. And that's wrong. And we shouldn't allow ourselves to fall into that trap. Well, let's go on here. I'm going to read verse 3 again. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. I just want to look at that one. The desires of the flesh and of the mind. And of the mind. That's why we have to renew our mind now. Because our mind was programmed. Our mind was programmed to like the things that the world said, oh, you should, yeah, you should like that. And now that we're born again, now that we're children of God and we're aliens from another world, we need to like the things that God likes, hate the things that God hates. He hates sin. We shouldn't embrace sin. We shouldn't embrace anything that our Father doesn't embrace. And yet we do. And I say sin, but doubt, unbelief, fear. Our Father doesn't fear anything. He does not fear anything. And yet we embrace fear. We embrace the doubts and the unbeliefs. So we should fight those things like the snakes they are, because it's not God. And it's just as wrong as sin. It is just as wrong for us to embrace these things, embrace fearfulness. Baloney. I'm not going to be afraid of things. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's not given me that spirit of fear. That fear was a learned behavior from when I was of the nature of the devil. I am now of the nature of my Father God. And for me to operate in fear, it is an abomination. It really is, because fear is not of my Father. It's not of my nature. It's coming out of that soulish part that still needs to be renewed to the Word of God. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, thank God for His mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together. See, this is who we are now. The series is called Our New Creation Identity. This is who we are. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. This is our new creation identity. We are identified in Jesus Christ. That's where we gain our identity. When you pray, don't you pray in Jesus' name? Well, sure you do. What gives you that right to do that? Because you are in Christ Jesus. You have been given the ability to use His name, the authority to do so, because you're a joint heir with Christ Jesus. See, all these things I just said right there, you know it's true in your spirit. And yet you fight it in your mind. You're able to pray in Jesus' name because you have identified yourself in Him. It is your new identity in Jesus Christ. You're seated in heavenly places. That's your position of authority. You're in Christ, and He is at the right hand of the Father. This is the authority that we have now. There's nothing we should be afraid of. We have the authority invested in us as the children of God in Christ Jesus. Do you think Jesus is afraid of anything? No, He's not. Not afraid of one thing. Do you think Jesus operates in unbelief? Never. Never in unbelief. Never fear. Never doubt. Never worry. No worry. No worry at all. Our identity in Christ Jesus, when we believe it, we won't worry, we won't fear, we won't doubt, we won't be afraid, we won't operate in anything that this world operates in. It will affect the way we live, the way we walk, the way we talk, every part of us. Hallelujah. You might say, well, Mark, I just don't know if I want to live that way. Well, I think now we're at the real problem. This is the real problem. Because see, before you get to that verse in Romans 12:2, where you're renewing your mind, Romans 12:1 says to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. See, that's where you say, not my will, God, but your will be done in my life. See, that's where the rubber really meets the road. You saying, I don't think I want to live that way, is you rolling off that altar and getting up and walking away. You're not really a living sacrifice. And I say that to myself. To live this way means to live it every day and to not look like everybody else looks, be willing to be the odd man out for the sake of winning those who are lost and dying and will go to hell if they're not saved. That's what we're talking about. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. See, that's what we're really supposed to be looking forward to. That in the ages to come, when this world and our time on this world is a faint memory, and we're living in the fruit of the time that we spent here, what we did, the decisions that we made, when the ages to come, when we're living in that time period, when we're living in that dispensation, whatever you want to call it, past this world is passed away. That's when it's really going to matter to us, what we did here. While we're here right now, you know, that we can just whittle the time away and not care. But we will care one time, one day. And that'll be in the future. And I believe that there are people listening or who will listen to this who will care. And they will make the decision now to learn who they are and to walk in who they are as the children of God, to accept the responsibility for who they are today as the children of God, and to walk in that, to be a light in the darkness of this world. This world is getting darker all the time. And there's fewer and fewer lights. Hate to say it, but I really think that's the truth. More and more, it's the world heading down that wide path instead of the narrow path. And there has to be people who will stand up and they will forsake their own life, forsake this world to see people won to the kingdom. And I want to be one of those people. And I hope that you want to be one of those people too. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I know this was a strong word. I know it's not a strong word that I'm supposed to not heed myself. I pray with everybody else. I pray for me too, God, that I can hear these words and that not just be a hearer, but a doer, and do what I know I need to do to affect that change so that I believe and I walk as a joint heir with Christ Jesus and stop identifying with the old person who's dead with this world and stop allowing this world to frame the way I think and the way I act and the things I do. Because this world is just passing away, God. And I want my life to count for eternity and the influence of my life to affect others for eternity. And I pray that everyone listening to this, that they will agree with this and that they too will desire for their life to impact others for the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you would like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.